Let us listen to God's good word to us, as is found in Luke chapter 21 and starting in verse 1. You can follow this on page 1056 on the Church Bible or on the screen. The widow's offering. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others." All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. This is the word of the Lord. Dan.
Thanks, Rob. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words, and we pray that you might, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, make your words living to us. We pray that these words, inspired by your Holy Spirit, might be taken by that same Holy Spirit and made to transform us by your goodness and mercy. Amen. Well done, everyone, for making it to Giving Sunday. It is always encouraging to see people here for Giving Sunday. And I think it's encouraging because Giving Sunday isn't always the easiest Sunday to sit through, is it? I don't know what your heart felt as you came to church this morning, if you'd remembered that it was Giving Sunday, whether you kind of came with a skip in your step, excited to hear what's going on, or maybe with just a little bit of trepidation. Because I don't know about you, but this is my first Giving Sunday here at Holy Trinity, but at other churches I've been at, it can be the Sunday where you're made to feel just a little bit guilty. I ought to be doing more for the church. That's what I'm going to hear this morning. Or I ought to be giving more to the church. And sometimes it can feel, therefore, a little bit less exciting than other Sundays. Last Sunday was our Vision Sunday, and where we thought about our priorities and where God is calling us and what God wants to do in us. And I hope that's a Sunday that kind of picks us up and makes us feel excited. This is a Sunday where it kind of, costs a bit for us. And therefore, it can feel just a little bit more uncomfortable. Well, first of all, well done for being here. Well done for not giving in to those fears and coming along this Sunday. And I think this passage from Luke chapter 21 is a great passage for us to dwell on this morning. Because Jesus isn't shy about talking clearly and plainly about money and about giving and about generosity. There are plenty of places where Jesus is very confrontational about our use of money and our use of all that we have as human beings. But the reason I wanted us to spend a bit of time thinking about this little passage from chapter 21 is because of what Jesus does here. Part of the reason for jumping in here is because we're going to be spending some time between now and Easter looking at this part of Luke's gospel. We're going to follow Luke's account of Jesus as he goes to the cross and then to the resurrection. So we're jumping in right in the middle of that little section. So we're going to wind back next week and start a little bit further back. But the other reason why I wanted us to have a look here is because of how Jesus talks about giving and generosity. Because here, we find that the passage talks much more about what Jesus commends than what Jesus condemns. So as I say, Jesus isn't afraid to talk very plainly about giving and about generosity. But here we find out what Jesus commends, what Jesus says, this is the right way to do things. So let's find out what that is. What is it that Jesus commends? Well, we're jumping in here in chapter 21. Into Luke's gospel a few days before Jesus' arrest. All the excitement and danger and turmoil of Maundy Thursday and then Good Friday and then Easter Sunday is just a few days away at this point in the story. And the crowds are gathered in Jerusalem for the Jewish festivals that are going on. And as the crowds gather, Jesus takes the opportunity to teach them. He goes into the temple courts. He goes into the place where everyone would gather, and he begins to teach and to debate with the people. In the chapter just before, Jesus has been debating very fiercely with the religious leaders of the day. He'd been talking to them about his own authority to teach, and he'd been quite confrontational with them, quite accusative of the religious leaders. But it's almost as if Jesus had this battle of wills with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in the previous chapter. Now Jesus takes a step back. And in the midst of the temple, he sits and watches people. I don't know if you're a people watcher. It can be a fascinating thing to do when you've got a spare 5-10 minutes. Maybe you're waiting for a train or something like that. And you just sit and you watch how people act and react. It can be a fascinating thing to do. It also can be quite rude, so you've got to do it quite carefully, otherwise people get annoyed at you. But it's fascinating to see how people go about their day, what's going on. You might imagine who they are and what is going on in their particular minds as they go about their days. Well, it's almost as if Jesus indulges in a little bit of people watching. He positions himself carefully. He positions himself in the area of the temple treasury. And in that area, there were 13 boxes that people were able to put money in. These were boxes known as trumpets. And the reason for that is because they were kind of cone-shaped, like a trumpet had been put down. So the kind of horn of the trumpet was sort of down the bottom, and then it kind of came up to a peak. And at the top of the peak was a hole for people to put money in. Apparently, that hole used to get really shiny because it had so many people's hands going over it every day in the temple courts. And this was a place where people could put free will offerings. So they weren't things that were demanded of them. They were opportunities for people to give freely to God and to give back of what God has given to them. So it's not demanded by the law, but is freely given as a response to God and what he has done. So there Jesus positions himself in the midst of this, surrounded by these 13 boxes for gifts. And he sees loads of people come in. It would have been tradition to do as you came up to Jerusalem for the Jewish festival. And he sees a whole bunch of rich people come in to give their gifts. And you can tell that they're rich people because they've got lovely flowing robes. And they look really good. And no doubt they have kind of quite a large bag of money with them. And as they take their money, it would have been very obvious as they kind of poured their bag of money into these boxes. They were metal boxes. And the coins of the day, things like denarius, would have been quite heavy coins. So you can imagine that as someone came and gave their offering, there would have been a great clang as these metal coins fell into the treasury. And you can imagine some of the rich people being slightly full of false humility. Oh, I'm terribly... Did I disturb you with the incredibly loud noise of the large amount of money I've just given to the treasury? You can imagine that. They would have I'm terribly sorry. It's just all this money I have and I'm giving away. It just makes such a loud noise. There's a show going on. In fact, some of that show has been something that Jesus had accused the religious leaders about the previous chapter. And now he sits and watches all these rich people come in and drop their clanging coins into the treasury and put a great show of it as they do so. In the midst of all of this, in slips a widow. Now, if you could tell the rich people by their flowing, pleasant robes, you could tell the widow by her tattered clothes. A widow was proverbial, the poorest of the poor, and she would have been very clearly a widow by the lack of ability to buy new clothes. And in she comes. Slipped probably unseen through the crowd. If the rich people were very showy, she would have not really wanted people to notice her. But in she comes, and she drops her gift into the temple treasury. And her gift is just 2 copper coins. They were like the pennies of the day, I guess. They were worth 5 minutes' work at minimum wage. So you can work out in your head what that might be worth today, but it's about the smallest amount of money you could possibly think of in Jesus' day. And the word that is used for the coin is literally flake. And it's like just little tiny flake of copper. Yeah, you can go into a shop in Richmond, I'm sure, and buy gold flake to make your cakes and bakes interesting, and put a little gold flake on there. And it's so thin that you could afford to do it. It's like buying a gold bar. Well, imagine that you had just a flake, not of gold, but of copper. That's how much she was able to give. And she drops them in. And if the rich people's gift would have made an incredible noise that everyone would have noticed, no one would have heard the sound of these two coins being dropped into the treasury. She was unseen, and her gift was unheard. But not to Jesus. You see, Jesus sees her, and Jesus sees her gift. And he commends what she does. And his commendation is very simple. This is really the heart of what we want to be able to take away today. He says this: "This poor widow has put in more than all the others." This poor widow has put in more than all the others. Now, of course, what Jesus says here is completely untrue. Right? I mean, there's no way that the widow put in more than all the others. All these rich people would have bought these enormous, great big coins, and she's put in two pennies. No way is this true. In fact, you could translate what Jesus says here as she gave more than all the others put together. Which is patently untrue, isn't it? I mean, there's no way that she could have given more than all these people. But of course, what Jesus is saying here is not to look at this gift with material, worldly eyes. From a material point of view, what Jesus says is utterly untrue, isn't it? She did not give monetarily in value of coins more than all the others. But Jesus isn't looking at it with material eyes. He's looking at it with spiritual eyes. And he encourages his disciples as he teaches them to look at this gift with spiritual eyes too. And he encourages us to look at giving and generosity with spiritual eyes. I don't know about you, I tend to look at generosity with material eyes. I have a problem with my eyes. I need to get my spiritual spectacles out, put them on, and look at them properly through spiritual eyes. So let's do that for a few moments. Let's look at this not through material eyes, but through spiritual eyes, and see what Jesus has to say. Here's the first thing. God looks at the heart. As we think about giving and generosity, God looks at the heart. You see, what this poor widow shows us is that God is less interested in the monetary value of our gifts than the attitude of our hearts. That's what God is most interested in. Giving isn't about giving the most to impress others. And that's what Jesus disliked about the religious leaders of his day. Instead, giving comes out of what's inside of us. The work of God's Spirit changing our heart that overflows in giving and generosity. Now, as I say that, it's not about the amount you give. Of course, Giving Sunday is the time where we ask everyone to review the amount that you actually do give. We need to do that because the giving that you give of monetary value funds the work that we do here at Holy Trinity. We don't get handouts from the government. We don't get handouts from the national church. We rely on the generosity of this church family to actually resource the mission of this church. It is important that the church is generous, and that's why we ask everyone to think and to pray and to consider how much to give. It's also the reason why we encourage regular giving so that we can plan well and so that we can be good stewards of your gifts. So it's not saying that monetary value isn't of any importance. But as we think about that, and as we'll think a little bit later in our service about reviewing our giving, it is vitally important to realize that giving to the church is not a tax. Now, of course, nobody really thinks that way, but we can easily slip into thinking that way, actually, even if we don't say that. We can think that, oh, if I consider myself part of this church, then I ought to give financially to the church. And think of it sort of as a cost of membership. And we begin to slip into thinking of it as rather like a tax. But generosity is not the same as paying taxes. And the reason I know that is because the tax office does not care at all about the state of my heart. They just want to know that I've given the money that I'm supposed to. So when I get a letter from Her Majesty's Customs and so forth, and I open it up and they tell me how much to give, they don't say, "We hope your heart is in this giving, and we hope that you feel really positive about it." They just say, "This is how much you're supposed to give, and if you don't, we'll come and get you." So it doesn't matter whether I give joyfully my taxes or whether I give begrudgingly or angrily. As long as I give, that's the main thing. God, on the other hand, does care about the attitude of our hearts. He cares about what is going on in here as much as what we are giving out there. But giving and generosity, and particularly how we use our money, is a pretty good indicator of what is going on in our hearts. Yes, if I have a heart problem and I were to go to the hospital because I had a heart problem, they would hook me up to a heart monitor of some kind. They put sensors on and there'll be a machine that goes beep. And they would be able to tell what is going on. That won't tell you the whole picture, but it'll give you a good sense of the health of my heart. Well, for us as Christians, if we were to hook ourselves up to a generosity meter, I wonder what the readout would be. Because the readout of our generosity actually shows a lot about the health of our hearts. So I don't want you to feel guilty and to feel like Dan is telling me that I need to give 15 times more than I used to. First and foremost, I want to tell us and tell myself that God cares about what's going on in my heart first. And then what is going on in my heart issues forth in my generosity. That's the first thing to take away. Here's the second thing. God sees the small. God sees the small. You see, this widow shows us that it's in the heart as much as the amount that we give. And sometimes we are only able to give a little. The situation, circumstances we find ourselves in means that we're not able to give as much as others might be able to in their situation and circumstances. And I don't just mean that financially. It's vital that we think about giving as much more than money. I realize I've been using that to talk about a fair bit of money, and this passage talks about money. But giving is more than money. We give to one another in lots of different ways. We give to this church in lots of different ways. We give our time. We give our energy. We give our talents. We give our compassion, we give our prayers, we give in a whole host of different ways. And it is important that we think about giving and being generous in all its different facets, not just in terms of our bank balance. So Giving Sunday isn't just a Sunday where we want to think about financial generosity. We want to think about how we can serve and help and encourage others, how God has given us gifts and talents to use to build up others as well. And sometimes we can only give a little. We can only give a small amount. We may be in a season of life where we can't give as much in some areas as we'd like to be able to. Maybe we're in a set of circumstances where we can only give a little in every area. And if that's you, I want to encourage you that Jesus sees your giving. He sees that which is small. And we might think what we have to give is tiny and insignificant, whether that's in terms of money or in terms of what we see our gifts and talents as being or the time that we have. But God sees it as worthy and valuable, and it does not go unnoticed. I have to say, as I've come and been part of this church family, I've been struck by the generosity of this church, a generosity in terms of finances, and a generosity in terms of time and energy and service. People give above and beyond. And for that, I am profoundly thankful. But I also know that there are some people who give in small ways, who serve in faithful ways, who serve in unseen ways. And we ought to be thankful for those people too. And honor them as much as God honors them. So God sees the small. And here's the final thing that I want to highlight from this passage. God encourages the reckless. God encourages the reckless. There's a little detail in this story that I at first overlooked, and maybe you did as well, but it is a vitally important detail. You see, this widow comes and she gives 2 small copper coins. And she gives both of them. And Jesus says the reason why she's commended is because she gave all that she had to live on. Now that's vital. In the first century, when this is happening, widows had no welfare system. There was no system by which people kind of could go to the government for help if they were out in trouble. And so the primary way in which people were looked after is through their family. And the reason why widows were often the poorest were because they had no family to look after them. They had no husband who would provide for them, often no children in which to who would look after them as well. And it was a culture where it was very hard for women themselves to be able to go and to earn money. So a widow was an incredibly vulnerable position. She was alone and unable to provide for herself. And so just imagine if someone came to you. Maybe you can imagine yourself working for the Citizens Advice Bureau or something like that. Or just in conversation at church, and somebody who's incredibly vulnerable says to you, I'm going to give all that I have to the church. Here are my 2 copper coins. Both of them are going to go in the offering. Now, if you're anything like me, I would probably say, well, that just sounds a little bit stupid. That's a bit extreme, don't you think? You've got 2 coins. Keep one for yourself. Maybe get a little bit of food. Pay for your heating, and then give the other one to the church if you want to give, or you know what the church will understand if you don't give anything. That would be the kind of advice that I might give, but it's not what she does. This widow is not sensible in her giving. She is reckless in her giving. She gives everything she has, and she holds nothing back. She gives her all to God and for God. She goes completely all in for God. Everything that she has, she puts into the offering. And therefore, she throws herself onto God's mercy. As she does that, she's basically saying to God, here is all that I have. I am trusting in you to keep me safe. I'm not going to trust in money to keep me safe. I'm not going to trust in wealth to keep me safe. I'm going to trust in you, God, to look after me. And there, in many ways, is the contrast between this widow and the rich. You see, the rich gave loads, and I'm sure that money was well used. But the problem, if you like, with the rich is that they gave out of their wealth. That's what Jesus says. That is to say, they gave what they could spare. They gave what had no cost to them. They gave what had no risk in giving. They gave what had no pain in doing so. But Jesus says of this widow, out of her poverty, she put in all she had to live on. And Jesus' words are fascinating. They could be translated, she gave the rest of her life. This widow is silent and unseen by most, but is all in for God. And Jesus sees her, and he acknowledges her, and he himself would do the same as she did. You see, we're here just a few days before Jesus would be arrested and go on a mock trial and then go to the cross. He would give all that he had for us. He would hold nothing back. He would give everything, his very life, out of his great love for us. And you see, giving is first of all a response to God's lavish generosity to us, a generosity that cost him dearly, a generosity that risked everything, a generosity that was deeply and powerfully painful for our rescue. You see, it's not guilt that moves us. I don't think it was guilt that moved this widow, but joy and trust in a God who is generous. But this widow gives us an example of what it means to follow Jesus. A wonderful, heartfelt, reckless giving of our all to God. The thing that I've been challenged by this week as I prepared this is, am I anything like this widow? Am I anything like this reckless giving? If people looked at my bank balance or the time that I give, would they say, you know what, that's just a little bit stupid. Why are you doing that? Why are you giving this amount? Or why are you giving that time? Why are you giving up your Sundays to do this? Why are you giving up your weekday evenings to do that? Do people look, if they could, at the way that we give in all of its different facets and think us just a little bit strange? Because I think that's the kind of giving and generosity that God calls us to. God wants crazy givers. He wants reckless givers. He wants givers that say, I'm not trusting in this, but I'm trusting in you. Because he is the one who goes all out for us. So let me pray. And then we're going to respond in a few different ways. So let me lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example of this poor widow who gave her all for you. And we pray that you would transform us by your Spirit to follow in her example, in whatever way that might mean. Above all else, putting our trust in you, the generous God who gives everything for us. Amen. Inside your booklet, you'll find a response slip. And what we're going to do in just a moment is have a little bit of time, there'll be some music playing, to fill in that response slip. Now, if you're a visitor with us, then feel free not to fill this in. This is for people who are regulars here at Holy Trinity. But whether you're, if you consider yourself to be a regular, even if you're very new, or you've been here coming in for many, many years, we'd love you to fill this in. We're going to take a few moments for us to be able to think and to pray and to reflect on that. And then if you feel able to fill in one of those boxes, you'll see that one of those boxes is that you wish to continue giving as you are at the moment. That's a perfectly right and good response. It's okay to do that. This is not out of guilt, it's out of joy. But we would love everyone to be able to fill this in, if you're able to. You'll also see that there's a space at the bottom to say about other ways to give. So not just financial giving, but ways in which you could use your time and energy and gifts and talents. And there are always a number of different ways in which we can do that. We're always looking for people to help in every different aspect of church life, from serving tea and coffee and welcoming at the door, to serving in our youth and children's ministries, to playing music. If you can play a musical instrument, we'd love you to be able to serve others in exercising that gift. And one of the key things that I'd love you to pray about is that one of our desires for this coming year that we talked about a little last week in Vision Sunday is to restart a Kick Academy here, working with young people to play sports and to tell them about Jesus through word and through example of life. We need some people to run that. It's never going to happen unless people are willing to step up and say, I'd love to take the lead on that. And maybe God is calling you to do that. So maybe that's something you could prayerfully consider. You might even want to write in the box there. If this is the first time you've thought about this, and you want to go away and you want to pray about it, please do. Don't feel under pressure to fill this in if you feel pressured. But at the same time, we tend to find if we ask people to go away and think about things, then you forget. Or at least if you're anything like me, you forget. So we'd love you if you can, if you thought about it already, if you prayed about it already, to fill this in today. So there'll be some people going around with pens to help you fill those in, and then there'll be some baskets that will be passed around to pop those in. You might want to just fold that, once you've filled it in, fold it up a couple of times, because this is not for public consumption. You don't need to show everyone else what you filled in, but to be able to do that. So we're going to spend some time now doing that. If you want to, you know, feel free to close your eyes, feel free to pray and reflect, whichever way you feel will be helpful. But the baskets and the pens will go around now. We'll have a little bit of music as we do so.